presented by Veritas Radio Network. I'm Kurt Wallace, and this is The Flow.
Our guest today is Julie Borowski, libertarian political analyst, formerly with FreedomWorks, and popular political comedic YouTube commentator. She sits down with me to discuss her life growing up in a small town outside of Washington, D.C. She describes her experiences of learning and discussing politics around the dinner table and the massive influence her grandfather had on her worldview. She tells of knowing what she wanted to do as a career from an early age. She talks about her struggles with slowly developing her own show, sharing how her journey has unfolded to combine the things she enjoys, comedic writing and politics, into a popular YouTube channel. She also talks about her meaningful relationship with her grandfather, once a socialist evolving to libertarian, who was almost fired for publicly chastising President Nixon. This is an interview you won't hear anywhere else. And Julie, thanks for being with us today on The Flow.
Thank you for having me.
Julie, let's start off. There's a lot that you have done and accomplished, and we've seen it. You're a YouTube star. You're a leading voice in the libertarian communities. And there are a few things that are kind of interesting about you that we don't know about. And hopefully we'll get to explore some of that today and the things that really are important to you in your life and how you've gotten to the point where you are today. Where'd you grow up?
I actually grew up right outside of Washington, D.C. I grew up in Montgomery County. So very, very liberal county, but I actually grew up in a pretty small town that was pretty conservative. So I kind of have that struggle my entire life of living right outside of Washington, D.C. and seeing all the corruption there and all my friends' parents worked for the government, but also being from a small town and being kind of traditional in the way that we grew up.
When you were growing up, were you the kind of kid that, because on your videos, you're sort of like, maybe Julie was a class clown as a kid. Is that true?
Oh, no. I've always actually been more of an introverted person. I've always loved comedy. I grew up watching shows like All of That and Saturday Night Live, which I think really inspired me. As a kid, I actually make all these comedy videos inspired by these shows that I watched. They weren't political, but they were kind of silly satire videos I made. But in school, I was actually kind of a quiet kid. I don't know why. I'm always kind of the person that you kind of have to know well, and then I kind of open up to you and become silly, but I'm pretty much an introvert, which is surprising to some, I know, to hear.
Well, what an introvert really is somebody who draws their energy on getting alone and getting recharged that way. I mean, it's not necessarily how you interact and you're able to, like, do what you do as an entertainer and a political commentator. But that, I'm an extrovert. And so I draw my energy on talking to other people. So right now you're losing your energy. I'm drawing is there something significant in the way that you grew up in the reflection of seeing what you mentioned something about the kind of the liberal versus the small town conservative aspect? Is this where you started to consider things? Because you're a millennial and you've accomplished a lot in your career, and all of it has been directed really toward political, society, social concerns. And where did that start for you? Where did you start to consider that there are these philosophies and started to draw a picture for yourself on your own philosophy?
My family was a huge influence in that. I know that some people say that it's not polite to talk about politics at the dinner table, but that was always kind of the main conversation, what was going on in the news, politics and whatnot. And my grandfather was a huge influence on me. He always talked about politics at the dinner table, and sometimes we would get into these huge debates. I said the other day, one of the most iconic debates in my family was the whole Elian Gonzalez debate, the Cuban boy. I remember as a kid, my family got into a huge debate about that at the dinner table, and people were screaming at each other. So I really, I've learned about politics in my family, and I've learned how to have strong opinions and how to defend them. So that really, just hearing my parents and my grandfather especially talk about politics, kind of, I didn't know any different. I knew that politics was a huge deal and something that I was always interested in.
Do you think that that's different for most kids?
Probably, because I know when people have come over to have dinner with my family, they've always been surprised about how much we talk about politics and how much debates that we have. Whereas I think most families, they don't really try to have arguments at the dinner table. Whereas my family, we always kind of go back to that.
In terms of growing up in your family, then, is your grandfather really the main influence for you in terms of maybe your philosophy, or is it more so just the experience of challenging ideas and thoughts and being critical? How would you describe your relationship with him?
So my grandfather passed away a few years ago, but he was hugely influential in my life. My grandfather grew up extremely, extremely poor in the South. His father was a coal miner. He died when he was very young. He grew up and talked about how he didn't know where his next meal was coming from. He only had one pair of pants. That was hugely influential in my life, to hear those stories about how he grew up so poor. But the thing that's funny was that many decades ago, my grandfather was actually a socialist. Because he was so poor, he actually went on to go to college. He was very smart. He got scholarships. People helped him go to college because of that. So when he graduated, he went back to the coal mining town that he was from, and he worked actually with the federal government to create all these programs. This was during the Great Society. So he created these welfare programs. He created businesses on the government's money because he thought that was the solution to help poverty. So he did this for a while, and he always told me that he saw how these programs weren't helping the poor. They were actually just encouraging people to live off the government dole and not better themselves. So he saw all of that firsthand. So eventually, my grandfather actually became more of a libertarian. He always talked about, at the dinner table, rejecting the welfare state, how it just cripples people. So my grandfather eventually left the federal government. He actually insulted Nixon one time, and
really?
He almost got fired from that. Got fired a couple of times.
What did he do? What happened?
Non-political views. So my grandfather, he would give speeches around the country. And he was given a speech, I believe, in Kentucky, and somebody asked him about Nixon or something like that. And he called Nixon a lying SOB. Well, that got back to D.C., and Nixon's people called my grandfather in for a meeting, and they said, Bill, we heard that you had some words to say about Nixon in your speech. They said, we heard that you called him an SOB. And my grandfather, being my grandfather, said, I didn't call him an SOB. I called him a lying SOB. So my grandfather says they were just about to fire him. But a couple of days later, Watergate happened, and they were just too busy working with that to fire him. But he got fired a couple of times for speaking his mind. But years later, I guess it was years later, he actually became more of a libertarian. He rejected the welfare state, and in 2008 and 2012, he was actually a Ron Paul supporter. I think I was the one that introduced him to Ron Paul, but he always loved watching Ron Paul on the news, and he always tell me, you know, Ron Paul speaks the truth. He doesn't care. You know, he's like your paps, and that he just speaks the truth.
That's interesting. So your grandfather was from the left and came out of that based on personal life experiences and had a metamorphosis toward libertarianism. You said you grew up in a conservative family. Did your parents reject the kind of the liberal stance, and that's why they were conservative?
Yeah, my parents were more kind of the law and order conservative. Not necessarily that socially conservative, but they were very much conservative in just the way that we kind of acted, that we were conservative. I think my mom was heavily inspired by my grandfather too, in the way that he became a conservative. My mom always talked about how her vote for Ronald Reagan was a big deal, and she always loved Ronald Reagan and stuff like that. So I think that also influenced me growing up. It wasn't until later on, when I was a teenager, that I found out about libertarianism, and I kind of started to go my own way.
I like this story a lot. It's rich and meaningful. So when you started to explore libertarianism, what was that moment? Or what was the thing that you saw or read or observed? Was it, and did it make you reflect on your grandfather and the things that he had been telling you?
Yeah, so my grandfather, I actually didn't know he was a libertarian. He never described himself as libertarian. I always thought he was kind of just anti-Democrat when I was a kid, because he was always bashing Bill Clinton. So I thought, oh, he must be a Republican, because I only thought there was two sides, Democrat and Republican. And it wasn't until later on, of course, 9/11 happened, and I supported Bush, and I thought all these wars were a great thing, that Bush was so brave and courageous, and we needed to just bomb the Middle East. I was kind of a little neocon. But I think my grandfather said some things against Bush around the dinner table that I thought were so weird, because I thought my grandfather was on our team, you know, and I didn't know that he could bash the Republicans. So I kind of was like, wow, what's happening here? And around the same time, some of my people that I knew, some acquaintances, went to Iraq, and they came back, and they had some problems in their life. Thankfully, they came back, unlike some, but that kind of just made the issue of war more real to me. I wasn't really close with them, but I just remember thinking that this wasn't just something that happens on TV, that this actually affects real people from my town. So it really made me kind of reflect on Iraq, the war in Iraq. And around the same time, I was on the internet. So I've always loved the internet. And I was on the forum, on this website, and somebody said they were a libertarian. I had no idea what that word meant. I think I thought it meant like a super, super liberal person, the word libertarian. But I looked it up, and it said people who want maximum freedom. At the time, I was a conservative, and I kind of thought I was the most freedom-supporting person ever. But it wasn't until I looked into libertarianism, and then I looked at the literature and the websites and the LP and all of this, and I realized that I was actually more of a libertarian than conservative.
So it was just a natural thing based on exploring the internet. Do you think that that's why millennials are embracing this more so than like my generation or baby boomers?
It probably has something to do with it, because we've been exposed to alternative views online. I never heard the word libertarian on the news until recently with Ron Paul and Rand Paul, but this was back when I was 15, so 2004-ish, when I never heard the word libertarian in school, on the news, wherever. It was discovering it on the internet, on some online forum that only millennials go to, that I realized the word and looked more into it.
Okay, Julie, so you're a teenager and going to high school, experiencing the awkwardness and weirdness, whatever this high school thing is. Was it a public high school, private? What kind of environment did you go to high school in?
It was a public school.
And was it weird, or did you have to like settle in and just put your head down, that kind of thing?
I mean, I didn't really talk about politics much with my peers just because they just didn't care. Mm-hmm. So I don't, what kind of kid was I? I was a kid that had a couple close friends that got me through high school, but I was the type of kid that just couldn't wait to get out of high school and to get out of my hometown and actually do something. I just saw so much, I don't know, so many people not doing much from my hometown and turning to drugs and heroin and all of this. And I just kind of wanted to get out and make a name for myself, I guess.
Was there any moments that when you're in high school and you saw this kind of stuff going on and it made an impact on you? Maybe some friends that were having trouble like that with drugs or whatever?
I don't know if there was one moment, but I was just one of those kids that I kind of didn't like my hometown. I didn't like high school. I just hated sitting in the classroom for 8 hours and being preached at. And I saw so much that we were being taught was, you know, leftist propaganda or whatever. And I just, you know, I saw all these kind of depressing things happening where people were just getting trapped in this small town bubble and not doing much with their life. So I just kind of wanted to go out and leave high school as soon as possible.
In other words, being in a natural setting with a bunch of kids your age, that didn't work for you. Being in a box, being moved from one box to another, being preached at.
Yeah.
All right, let's go on to college then. You went to Frostburg State University. Why'd you choose that school? Is it close to home?
Yes, it was close to home. I had toured Frostburg before, so I knew about it. I knew some people that had gone there and liked it. Frostburg at the time had a reputation of being a party school. That's not the only reason that I went, but I knew it was close to home, just a couple hours away, that people liked it. And it was also a small school. The average class size was about 20 students. Mm-hmm. Whereas these big universities, University of Maryland and stuff, had hundreds and hundreds of students per classroom. So Frostburg, I loved college. I absolutely loved it. And it was more personal. You got to know your professors. They knew you by name. I loved Frostburg.
And when you were there, you graduated magna cum laude and you got involved in political science, so you were already on a trajectory, but this started growing up. You've always had this sort of perspective on politics, and you got your degree in political science, economics, and international studies. Have you always known what you wanted to do? Did you have your sights set on the direction that you went in? As a career,
yeah.
Or what were you thinking during college? Did you go back and forth? I want to be a doctor. I want to be a veterinarian. I know you love animals, so.
Yeah, as a kid, I always wanted to be a veterinarian, and then I got more into the science classes, and I realized that I probably wasn't going to be able to do that. but as I went into college my freshman year, thinking two things, but I either wanted to be a comedy writer or a teacher. Mm. I thought that teacher was more kind of, I could get a job anywhere, they were always hiring, and comedy writer was kind of more of a dream of mine that I wanted to do, but I didn't really know what I wanted to do the first couple months of college. I was just taking the general classes. But it wasn't until the spring of my freshman year, this is 2007, that I found out about Ron Paul. And that kind of took everything that I thought I knew, just flipped it upside down, really just changed my life. And I got really big into Ron Paul. And I was arguing with a friend about Ron Paul's politics, something like that. And they asked, why aren't you a political science major? You're so passionate about this. But at the time, political science, I thought, well, I don't want to be a politician. I don't want to work for the government. Like, what could I possibly do with that degree? And then I looked more into it, And I found out about like the Cato Institute, like all these think tanks, nonprofit, libertarian think tanks in D.C. So I thought, and this was pretty much a dream of mine again, that, okay, maybe if I major in political science that I could work in one of these think tanks in D.C. So for my freshman year, like the spring, that had always been a goal of mine to work at a think tank in D.C.
Oh, that's interesting. And you did. Didn't you intern somewhere?
I worked at a couple. I was actually a Koch Summer Fellow in 2009. I worked for the Center for Competitive Politics. Mm-hmm. Then I interned Americans for Tax Reform. I entered at FreedomWorks, and I got hired at FreedomWorks. I worked there for about 5 years.
Incredible. Okay, so what was a moment that you experienced as an intern that made an impact on you and said, okay, I really have to do this. I got to keep going.
I was a Koch Summer Fellow in 2009, and that was a huge deal for me. I was among people who I thought were really, really smart, much smarter than me, and it was almost intimidating because I was this small-town kid who went to a state school around people who went to Harvard and Yale, and I was very intimidated by this. And but the cool thing was that we agreed on so much, even though we came from different backgrounds, that they were libertarians. And at the time, I had only met a few libertarians in my entire life. And all of a sudden, I was in this room with 100 other libertarians who believed mostly the same things that I did. And they came from these wonderful backgrounds, and I realized that this was something that I wanted to do when I was working at these organizations. They had such, it was so great because I was actually working for something that I believed in, and on top of that, I was being paid to do so, which was so weird to me. So I knew, okay, I could actually have a career doing something that I love and making a difference. So that was it.
That's incredible, especially at such a young age that you were able to find your place in the world. Julie, we're going to have to take a short break. You're listening to The Flow with Kurt Wallace, our special guest, Julie Borowski.